This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
There's definitely, more opportunities for teams to take a jump. There's certainly teams who have taken a step back. I think for us, we need to remain diligent and pragmatic about how we build this. We don't want to skip steps. And I think sometimes when you do skip steps, expectations kind of build and you make mistakes. And I don't think we want to do that.
Scared to make mistakes. That's how I heard it. They don't want to skip steps. They're averse to taking risk. That's the Bulls. Mark Everly, the general manager, talking about their approach this offseason. We heard from him last week, both in a press conference setting and also on Mullion Hall right here on these very airwaves. Mark Grody in for Layla Rahimi as we continue with Rahimi and Harris talking about the Bulls and everything that has gone right and everything that has gone wrong. One of those lists is very long. One of those lists is very short. And I got to tell y'all, when I saw that the Bulls traded Lonzo Ball to the Cleveland Cavaliers for small forward Isaac Okoro, I first thought, am I having deja vu? Am I having deja vu? Let me tell you why, Mark. Because last year, the Bulls traded Alex Caruso, foregoing draft compensation. Most thought he could get a first rounder for him. In fact, he ended up trading with a team in Oklahoma City that had first rounders for days. They said, no, we prefer the player over the draft pick. We'll take Josh Giddey. And you know what? Josh Giddey was fine in his first year as a Bull. He's going to get paid, hopefully $25 million or less, and not $30 million. But that's neither here nor there. Alex Caruso went on to win a title, an NBA championship. The Cleveland Cavaliers are hoping that the addition of Lonzo Ball as a veteran backcourt presence, as a possible replacement straight up for Ty Jerome, can help them win a title. And what did the Bulls get back? Did they get draft compensation? Did they learn their lesson from a year ago and say, hey, let's get some draft assets so that when a big star becomes available that we don't have to chase in free agency and we can make a trade, we'll be ready? No, they said, give us the player Isaac Okoro who can slide in as our starting small forward after the team that's trying to contend for a championship deemed him not good enough to be a part of their championship rotation, their contending rotation, if you will, after winning 60-plus games last year. It's unacceptable. And the only thing I can think of is that the Bulls are either too scared to get the draft picks to be in position to make the move because it's a lot easier to slow play it and just be like, oh, this is a guy that can be on our team. A guy, by the way, that was taken in the 2020 draft, one spot behind Patrick Williams, and we know where that situation is. Williams of the extension variety, and say, we'll just slot him in and we'll play for the middle like we always do. Not ready to take any home run swings. And it's bad. And it's like they've learned nothing. And I just want to know that the Bulls are open to optionality, trying to build a team through different avenues. And there's no evidence that they've learned that you can build a team through different avenues. It's going to be the long play of, we'll get a guy good enough to play. And, you know, there's talk now that they'll trade either Iodosumu, Kobe White, try to re-sign Trey Jones to have more, not bad talent, but just non-championship caliber talent. You know who agrees with me on this? I think, based on what I saw, Stacey King, the guy that calls the games on CHSN, the guy who is one of the co-hosts of the Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast. Listen to what he had to say about the Lonzo Ball trade.
You know, I'm a big fan of Lonzo. I hated to see that happen. You know, the guy has battled back from so much adversity,
yeah,
proven so many people wrong. And I thought, you know, this year after they signed him during the season last year, that he was going to stick around and he'd be a great piece. You know, he'd be a great piece to this young team as there. And he's still young. It's not like Lonzo's in his 30s. You know, he's still a young player, and he's got a lot of basketball left. I hate to see him go. I'm a big fan of the kid. He's a 3-and-D guy, and it's one of those same situations, Mark, that Alex Caruso was in. You know, Bulls trade him to a contender, a team that has a chance to win a championship. You know, whether they did that you know, looking out for Zoe, we don't know. But it works out that way. The Bulls are not, let's be honest, the Bulls are not winning a championship next year. Okay, they may not win a championship in the next 5 or 10 years. But what you're doing is you're putting yourself in position to get to that level. And you got to draft right. You have to hit home runs in the draft. I mean, there's been some major misses.
So to hear Stacey King say that, who knows far more about the inner workings of the NBA than I do, it just further confirms that they're not in a hurry to do anything.
They're just hoping.
Hoping
they're
a prayer.
Just hoping. Yeah, let's just see. Let's throw these guys out there. Hey, man, maybe you've got something this year. Maybe you've got something in Okoro, or maybe not. Maybe Bouzelis is going to be a superstar in the NBA. I mean, this is what they're thinking. Hey, maybe it's good. Maybe Kobe White does take the next step. Maybe Josh Giddey is a triple doubles machine, and he gets better at defense.
Do you get any feeling that there's any real pressure on the Bulls to be better?
Well, not right now, because for better or for worse, your Bulls front office was told that they get another bite at the apple. They get another shot, right? They are get the first manifestation of this era of Bulls, the Arturas Mark Eversley era, didn't work. They're getting one more shot at it, which means it doesn't matter for the next couple of years. Stacey also, did he just say they may not get a title for the next 5 to 10 years?
Like I said, and this is from Drew Stevens. He tweeted it out over the weekend. The Bulls are 5 to 10 years away from being 5 to 10 years away. Also, I follow on Instagram, just for fun, because I'm a nerd, the language nerds, right? This quote directly applies, in my opinion, to the Bulls front office. Courage is knowing it might hurt and doing it anyway. Stupidity is the same, and that's why life is hard. Courage is knowing it might hurt, but doing it anyway. Stupidity is the same, and that's why life is hard. I think the Bulls lack the courage to go out and do radical things that aren't even radical because everybody else in the NBA is doing them.
Why do you think that is?
Because there's no pressure.
Because people still go to the United Center.
You said
and that's their value. That's what the Chicago Bulls organization values above everything else.
And if they
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just trying to get down to the bottom.
No. And if they so happen to develop a superstar such as Modest, we heard them talk about that last
week. They get lucky and they draft Derrick Rose.
They said, we think our way of developing talent is the way to find the superstar. Is that what happened with Patrick Williams? He's still on the roster, right?
I think so.
He's still getting paid.
A lot of money.
And so I just wonder why anyone would have faith that they're going to be able to do it their way, this way, the way that no one else is doing it. Other teams who develop their talent, it's because they have top five picks. That was their most recent top five pick. What is he doing currently? Patrick Williams.
Oof. That's so what he's doing.
That's where my concern lies as we talk about the Bulls and their latest move, which is trading Lonzo Ball for Isaac Okoro with the Cavaliers, who, in my opinion, are the front runners to win the East next year. Here on Raheemian Harris, Mark Grody, and for Layla. Let's go back out to the phone lines. You got thoughts about this? Hit us up and let us know. 312-644-6767. We do have a call. It's Doug from Zion. You're on Raheemian Harris. 6-7 The Score. What's up, Doug?
Doug.
Hey, how's it going? Good morning. I just have extreme Bulls frustration right now. That was a terrible move, but it was a summary of this administration. And I don't know it's from the top down, but in a situation, especially where you have a window of opportunity where the East is weakened by injuries to Jason Tatum, Tyrese Halliburton, and not so much, but Dame Lillard as well. And this is what you do. I think the ticket sales is what's keeping them in their jobs. And they don't really, like you said, they don't have pressure. And I just want to say this is a terrible move. And they're just trash right now.
What would you have preferred they do with Lonzo Ball? Keep him or trade him for picks? What would you have preferred?
Well, the window to trade him was gone. Once they saw that he could play and he could play well, they kind of gave away all the leverage that they had. Now they're guard heavy, and these other teams know that. And, you know, organizations like the Magic giving up all those picks for Desmond Bane shows that they know that this is a unique opportunity to compete in the East. So I don't know what the answer is, but this has been a slowly slope going down a bad way.
You know what it is? It's just more of the same. Thanks so much for the call, Doug. We appreciate it. And I think that's the problem. It's more of the same. People are already thinking about a fourth straight matchup in the play-in with the Miami Heat, who, by the way, if the Heat go out and show you that they can go make moves after getting rid of Jimmy Butler, they may be above the play-in
now.
Who
knows? Because that's another good organization. It's a well-run, well-coached team.
That's the key, right? You can have a good coach, but if you don't have a good front office, it's not going to work. You have a good front office, but if you don't have a good coach, it's not going to work.
Right.
Do the Bulls have a good coach?
I mean, yeah, I think he's a good coach.
Do the Bulls have a good front office?
I think that's a good word for him. No. It would not appear that they have a good front office.
I just wonder who's carrying water for this front office besides the people who employ this front office.
What do you mean who's carrying water?
Like, who's saying, yeah, I believe in Arturis Karnišovas and his vision?
Michael Reinsdorf.
I said besides him, besides ownership. Is there anyone on board?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Like, anybody in our business? Anybody in NBA circles?
The Bulls front office right now, as it stands, are the laughingstock of the NBA.
Yeah.
Outside of maybe the Knicks.
Do you think that part of what the Bulls think they're doing is the example that you were just giving, or the caller did about the NBA with the injuries that exist in the Eastern Conference? And I think you said it, I don't know if it was yesterday or whenever, that the Eastern Conference is wide open, right? Like, it's there for the taking.
It's wide open if you were in the playoffs last year and you have a superstar on your team.
Right, but do you think that the Bulls look at that and say, we can compete in this Eastern Conference. We can get a sixth seed out of this with the roster that we have and the development that we can do with these players?
I think they're always down to compete, but the difference between competing is what are they competing for? They're competing to make it into the playoffs.
Right.
And lose in the playoffs or hope somebody gets hurt in the playoffs.
Was it when we were during our meeting that we were discussing that we could already anticipate the press conference at the end of this year if they do get into the playoffs and lose in five games in that best of seven series? And they'd say, well, we achieved our goal.
We did better than last year.
We were 14-2 in the last 16 games of the regular season. That was this year.
And we got our team to the playoffs somewhere they did not get to last year. Yes. So that is improvement.
But talk about baby steps.
I mean, let's
baby steps, man.
Let's be really honest about
this.
We
need an adult step from the Bulls. No more baby steps. It's time for a grown-up step.
Yeah, 847 on the text line. The Bulls would be better next year because the East is weaker. The management's just going to say the Bulls improved, but it's a smokescreen Jerry will use.
And that's why we're talking about it. That's why we're giving you the transparency, because they're not going
to
give you
the Bulls have to be better next year, right?
No, like they don't. No.
I'm saying they will be, because who did they lose? Like, they have the same roster. It's going to be more cohesion as well, and then you hope Bouzelas takes a jump. Like, this team is going to be better next year.
Robbie, do you remember how we talked about how Detroit could be better next year, or the Vikings could be better, or the Packers could be better, or the Bears could be better, but the record may not reflect it? Well, with the Bears, it would probably reflect it. Because the challenges are so much different in terms of who they have to play. Everybody else knows the East is better, too. Everybody else in the East is getting better, too. So the Bulls staying the same when everybody was already better than them in the East. Like, do you think the Bulls are better than the Bucks today? Bobby Portis just resigned. Dame Lillard's not walking out of that tunnel.
They don't have the star, but I think from 1 through 9, I would rather have the Bulls players than the Bucks.
I think you're sorely mistaken. Wait. And when I say that, I'm saying wait till free agency plays out.
It's Giannis and who else? Like, Dame is going to be out the whole year, but that's not the point.
You think the Bucks are going to let Giannis just sit there for a year and not go?
I don't know what assets they have to trade. That's the only thing. But that's unrelated. I just think that the Bulls here, like, if I were to go in the mind of AK, he traded an asset who a year ago we didn't think was going to even really play basketball at a high competitive rate anymore, traded him for a starting small forward. In his mind, AK thinks he won that deal. I don't agree with him, because I think we know how modern basketball works. You need picks. But in AK's mind, he's like, oh, I took an asset I didn't have, and now I have a starting two-way type of player.
Who's the two-way player?
I would say, I mean, Okoro, like, he doesn't necessarily
score. I thought you were talking about Giddey for a minute. I was just making sure we weren't talking about Giddey.
Well, Giddey's the MVP, but it's like... But I mean, Okoro, he shot 37% from three last year, 39 the year before. Like, in AK's mind, he's like, I got the player I wanted. I want a three, like, I wanted a two-way player. I got him.
How all old right. is Giddey, by the way?
23? Yeah, he's...
God, you act like he's a finished product that can never, ever improve in his life.
Mark, Cook.
22, actually.
Sorry, 22 years old. 22 years old,
and you act like this guy shouldn't even be in the NBA.
That's not what I'm saying. I think that
you don't even want them to pay the average point guard salary to this guy.
$38 million? No, I don't. I don't want them to pay Josh.
Can you believe that number?
We go down the list of people who are overpaid right now and are albatrosses on their current teams because they're getting paid too much.
He's not going to get $38 million.
I don't want Josh Giddey.
That just loves Josh Giddey.
I don't want Josh Giddey to be in that category. Is my point. And that's where the Bulls are headed if they pay this man, bidding again against who? Themselves. That's what you don't want. Let's go back out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. We have Joe in Forreston. You're on with Raheem and Harris, Mark Grody in for Layla here on 670 The Score. Joe!
Hi, I was just going to defend the Bulls a little bit.
I got to hear this.
Because when you look at the teams that are successful at the present time, Oklahoma and Indiana, they did go with more younger players without the established names. So that's why they're probably losing some of the older players. And the Bulls before, were number one in the East when they had the three stars until the injuries took them out. So you can't really – you can make an argument that they do see talent when they signed Caruso as a free agent, and then they did get a good player for trading him when Caruso wasn't in their timeline, because he's a great role player. But the Bulls really right now need to work on more stars, trying to find them. And the stars do seem to come in the mid first round at times now. When you look at the Greek Freak up in Wisconsin, and that some of these good players like the top player from Oklahoma, he came from the mid round too. So it can be done, but it's just gonna, you have to get lucky on those draft picks.
Yeah, I think it is a combination of both luck and skill. Thank you so much for your call, Joe. But I would say this, you have to put yourself in position to get lucky multiple times, as opposed to getting lucky once a year in the middle of the lottery of the draft when you don't have a top five pick. And Sam Presti, who did that, has a track record of getting stars. Russell Westbrook, James Harden, and Kevin Durant. And he also has a track record of trading stars and getting things for them. Look at Paul George. I think that's the biggest difference, is the Bulls have been a step slow each and every time when it comes to moving stars out, talking about like a future Hall of Famer like DeMar DeRozan, and not getting enough back. That is the issue. And there's nothing that's changing. I don't think they trust their ability to draft multiple guys and develop stars in the way they're telling us, because their actions show they'd rather have players than lottery tickets. You need more lottery tickets. You know who's got lottery tickets?
Ooh.
The people in Pittsburgh. They just keep acquiring good players over that NFL facility on the south side. We're going to talk about the big NFL trade that made waves and why Mark Grody might have to amend, but maybe he won't, amend his floor and ceiling for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
What?
And their quarterback.
What?
Are you not going to amend it? Just tell me.
We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see. I'm still thinking about it. I mean, this just happened today.
Okay. We will talk about everyone's favorite quarterback to hate, Aaron Rodgers, and more when we come back with more Raheem and Harris. Mark Grody in for Layla on 670 The Score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Come on. Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is it. You know, that's why we just did a one-year deal. Steelers didn't need to, you know, put any extra years on that or anything. So, you know, this was really about finishing with a lot of love and fun and peace for the career that I've had. I mean, I played 20 freaking years. You know, like, it's been a long run. I've enjoyed it. And what better place to finish than in one of the cornerstone franchises of the NFL?
That is Aaron Rodgers talking about one last shot. Going to the Pittsburgh Steelers on a one-year deal, leaving all the marbles on the proverbial table, I suppose, as they continue to make moves to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And it feels like it's not just him with one last shot, but the organization in Pittsburgh feels like they're trying to do big things in making a trade, sending Minkah Fitzpatrick, three-time All-Pro safety, to the Dolphins, along with a pick swap for three-time All-Pro cornerback Jalen Ramsey and tight end Jonnu Smith. And this is interesting. Jonnu Smith, familiar with Arthur Smith, their offensive coordinator's offense in Pittsburgh, and getting another weapon for Aaron Rodgers, and also sending Fitzpatrick, who had some injury issues. Ramsey still getting paid. He'll make $26.6 million this year. But we continued that discussion, and I bring it up because Mark Grody is with us today. Layla's got the day off, and you were, poo-pooing the Aaron Rodgers era in Pittsburgh?
I guess you could say that, yeah. I mean, we asked the question about what does Aaron Rodgers mean to the Steelers. Well, we do that when he signed. Was it about a month ago or so, right? Yeah. And, I just think that there's going to be some implosion from Aaron Rodgers. And I will say that the majority of it is I just don't trust the guy at the age of 42. So physically, I think that we have to start to be realistic about Aaron Rodgers and then just the Aaron Rodgersness of it all. So, yeah, I'm just not buying it. I'm not buying Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh.
What would it take to buy Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh? Like, is that Mission Impossible?
You really want to put me in this car, don't you?
No.
You really? I heard you on BetQL over the weekend. I heard you put everybody in that car. You're not putting me in that car. I heard you school them. It's not going to happen to me, pal.
Oh, I need to hear this. Wait, what did Marshall say?
Oh, yeah, man. I was popping on the score. They're like, whoa, there's Marshall.
So here's the story. BetQL, as you know, a gambling show. We were talking about picks to win MVP.
I got all sorts of questions
for you from that show. Maybe a dark horse. 10,000-1 was Aaron Rodgers for MVP. And I said, that's an easy throw 10 bucks on it, 5 bucks on it, 100 bucks on it. Because it's built for him to do big things. And it's year two off the Achilles, as I've told you guys.
You didn't think I heard that, did you?
I did not. It's year two off the Achilles. He's playing for Mike Tomlin. He's got weapons. DK Metcalf and company. Now Jonnu Smith added to the mix.
Love Jonnu Smith.
The Steelers have a good defense.
They do. No doubt about it. Hey, man.
Mike Tomlin can coach. I think.
Remember all those years that the Bears had a great defense and a good head coach and no offense and no quarterback that could get anybody the ball?
Here's the issue with what you just said, Grody.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
You're saying no quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is not a no quarterback guy.
I know.
That's the problem with your analogy.
You're absolutely right. This is not Rex Grossman. This is not Kyle Orton starting a season. This is not a game manager. You're absolutely right. But he's 42 years old, and he's Aaron Rodgers, and he's a freaking head case. And yeah, he's played 20 freaking years the way Aaron Rodgers just said. So I'm sorry. I just don't trust that Aaron Rodgers is going to be that guy. Something about it just reeks. And I'm sorry for Pittsburgh, because that's a really good organization.
Do you think he takes down the Steelers?
I do. I think
does he get Mike Tomlin fired?
No. But it will be his first year under 500, as I predicted. What other bets you got for us, by the way, from BetQ? I didn't know that side of Marshall. I was like, wait a minute. It's just like the dramatic music went through my head when I was listening. Din, 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 din. I was like, is Marshall like a closet gambler? Yes. I was like, wait a minute, because he sounded pretty educated on the way he was speaking gambling.
Yeah.
So maybe you were faking it, just being well-prepared for the show like you always are. So, but then I thought, wait a minute.
So
this guy's a gambler, man.
I said I would take two quarterbacks for MVP. I would pick up two slips. If I was in person, I would just go to the window and be like, yeah, give me Aaron Rodgers, 100 bucks. And then I'd take another 100 bucks, give me Joe Burrow. And I'd walk away, and I'd feel like I was a winner either way, because either Joe Burrow's winning it.
Wow.
Or I think Aaron Rodgers is winning. And the Aaron Rodgers play is huge.
I learned that Kate really likes Joe Burrow.
Yeah, she does.
In a lot of different ways.
Kate Constable, my co-host, yes. I was in for Cam Smith. But look, I'm just surprised that Pittsburgh, are you not surprised a little bit that Pittsburgh's kind of going all in on this year?
I mean, because
that's not what they do. They don't go out and make all these trades.
It's very last dance. It's very last dance. I don't know. Maybe this is Mike Tomlin's. Maybe he's going to move on after this year. I don't know. No, there is that feel. And my guess is that's Mike Tomlin getting antsy, right? Like, I'm sick of, like, he's the most criticized over 500 head coach in his own ever, especially in Pittsburgh. Like
they hate him in Pittsburgh.
I know, and it's crazy because my God, I think we would pay taxes for Mike Tomlin to be the head coach around here.
Chicago's right, not the only city. Like you think about it like this: if Mike Tomlin gets fired tomorrow, how many teams are
Oh my God,
positioning themselves
20,
and thinking
20 teams probably.
20?
20 teams.
20 out of 20. The 31 remaining teams.
Right. Are the Bears one of them?
No.
The Bears have an offensive guru. They have. They have decided their path. Unlike the Bulls, it's very clear what the Bears are doing.
Unless Ben Johnson is a joke. Which, by the way, is on the table.
Whoa.
No, I'm just saying, I don't think Ben Johnson is going to be a joke. I think he looks like he has the makings of a very good head coach. What that means is we have thought that there were going to be good head coaches here in the past, and then they turned out to implode, that we bought into. And don't make me go through the list of head coaches around here that people were very excited about.
We don't have the time. That's a long list.
Matt Nagy. God, he came skipping into town and we bought in. And why shouldn't we buy in after what they did in 2018? But then it all went bad.
But didn't Matt Nagy not call plays in Kansas City?
He called them for 1 year in Kansas City.
That's where I would have already been like, eh.
Yeah, but we all kind of bought in. That's the question. You said, like, when did we buy in? People bought in to Matt Nagy. Obviously, Ben Brown has the better resume than Matt Nagy did coming in. There's no doubt about it. But people bought into it in 2018, of course. But every year after that, he never developed the offense. It went bad. People thought Mark Trestman was kind of cool. People believed in Mark Trestman. And maybe it was relativity. So, of course, it's on the table. I am not predicting that he is going to be a bad head coach, but of course, don't be naive. I mean, of course, it's possible.
Okay.
I know it hurts to hear. It does. That's jarring, isn't it?
No, it doesn't hurt to hear. I just think that Ben Johnson is in a position where I don't see the clown face coming on.
I don't either. Like, if I'm predicting, if we're making that part of like
You've already predicted a winning record, correct?
I did do that.
Yeah.
I did do
10
that.
And 7.
Yeah. How much does the schedule just came out, we come up with a record, how much should that count, really? Like, how much should that be remembered?
My whole thing because is you so can many amend that happen. Anytime between the schedule coming out and the start of the regular season. Okay. You can amend that.
And that is true, yes. I do have the Bears having a winning season. So, but it's also on the table that Ben Johnson is a bad head coach in the NFL.
But to be clear, you have the Steelers having a losing record because you think...
I think they're because of Aaron Rodgers.
Rodgers is going to be an albatross that finally brings Mike Tomlin below 500.
If it's honestly, I'm thinking more physically than when you use the word albatross. I think of him just being a bad locker room guy. Is that what you mean when you say albatross?
I just meant something's got to. There's a reason you believe Aaron Rodgers is going to weigh down Mike Tomlin's plus 500
just because he's 42.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the biggest reason.
It doesn't matter to you that he played all 17 games last year. Okay. It doesn't. And the whole second year after an Achilles injury is always better than the first for any sport, any athlete.
Life finds a way at 42 years old to start to decline.
Did it find a way for Tom Brady?
That is the exception. That's the exception of all exceptions of all exceptions of all exceptions. Nobody will ever do what Tom Brady did again.
Did it find a way for Nolan Ryan?
Give me his...
You want his age 42 numbers? I would be more than happy to tell you Nolan Ryan's age 42 numbers.
Okay, but you could do that. These are very select groups.
Yeah, these are outliers.
These are outliers of outliers, all of these guys. We can play the game of who are guys that succeeded over 40, if you would like. But that list is going to be pretty small.
42 is very specific. So I was like, okay. In 1989 for the Texas Rangers, Nolan Ryan was a 5.1 WAR player as he... posted a 16-10 record, a 3.20 ERA, and struck out 301 batters in 239 and a third innings.
Hey, Davey Lopes stole 40 bases for the Cubs, I think, when he was 40 years old. So crazy things happen at old ages. What was didn't Bartolo Colon hit a home run?
He did.
And we were all laughing. Why? Because he was fat and he was 40.
But he got that one in San Diego that day.
He did get that. He did get that.
No, I think as we talk about the Steelers' big trade, trading away Minkah Fitzpatrick, the three-time All-Pro.
That's a wild
safety,
one to me.
And then getting Jalen Ramsey and also Jonnu Smith, the tight end, back in that deal with the Dolphins here on Raheem and Harris, Mark Grody in for Layla. That you have to understand, this is the time where we're seeing some teams take big swings. We're going to see in the NBA when free agency begins at 5 p.m. We're going to see it. Some teams are going to take big swings, and I'm good with it. It makes things more exciting. I wish the Bulls would take a big swing, and their big swing would be getting assets, but they're not going to do that. But to see the Steelers do it, a team that has been revered and steeped in tradition, to kind of like say, not only is Aaron Rodgers coming to town, but we're making moves to further supplant this team and put this team up in a position where they can get double-digit wins, perhaps win the division, and make a run at the Super Bowl. That's the goal.
They're trying to win. There's no doubt they're going all in. And I think that's a good move. I'm just confused by the Minkah Fitzpatrick part of it. He was injured last year, but were they down on this guy in general? Like, that's strange. I heard nothing but good about him. And I think about, of course, if you're a Bears fan, you immediately go back to, oh boy, Chase Claypool. Because everybody's like, why are they letting Chase Claypool go? Oh, we'll take him. Chase Claypool, man. He went to Notre Dame. That's a first-round pick.
You're giving a lot of fans out there PTSD by mentioning Chase Claypool. You know that, right?
I had to witness all of that.
574 on the text line. Who's your old guy?
Who's your, parentheses, old guy? Who's your guy? Well, you gave us Nolan Ryan. For some reason, my brain went to Davey Lopes, which is really weird.
Ricky Henderson's my probably favorite old guy.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Time.
Bartolo was interesting, but he wasn't great, right? He was just still doing it.
He could give you innings.
Jamie Moyer.
Jamie Moyer.
Another guy. Not great, though.
Covered him when he piggybacked off Pedro in Philly.
Yeah. I remember him being
Julio Franco. He's on my list as well.
40.
Julio Franco.
He was a 40-year-old.
Your favorite 40-year-olds of all time out here in professional sports.
Oh, I love this.
We go to hockey and the list explodes.
Chris Chelios. Yeah. Chelios was still playing at 40? Yeah.
Satchel Paige is one of those.
He was playing at 40.
Told by 847. Yes. Chris Chelios was out here playing. In hockey, you could play like 7 decades. Or something like that. Well, not 7, but you get
you
the
play a lot. Yeah, man. Hanging back there as a defenseman.
785 on the text line. Steelers are going to grind it out. Aaron Rodgers is crafty enough, and TJ Watt will return. Their defense will always be there. And Aaron Rodgers, by the way, is spelled E-R-I-N.
Was Jason Peters 40 when he was playing with the Bears?
I believe he was, wasn't
he? He was, yeah. Ex-Eagle, too. Jason Peters.
785 also saying Steelers just do not deliver in the playoffs. But that's why you went and got Aaron Rodgers, right? You got him for the postseason. That's why he exists.
Make it there. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, in theory, you're right.
This idea that they won't make it there is hilarious.
George Foreman.
George Foreman's a good call.
Rich Hill. That's another good one. Rich Hill, God. Another guy that started just like Jamie Moyer started his career with the Cub.
Okay.
Yeah.
Joe Thornton. Okay. I'm seeing a lot of good stuff here.
These are fun names. Yeah.
Speaking of fun names and names you might not know, that's where we're headed next here on Raheem and Harris featuring Mark Grody in for Layla, because coming up next, we are going to talk. Let's talk that hockey.
Are you finally ready to talk that hockey?
Listen, Mark Lazarus, senior NHL writer for The Athletic, co-host of The Athletic Hockey Show, is going to join us to talk about what happened over the weekend with the Blackhawks. They were taking swings. They were taking swings for big three first rounders.
Biggins, big boys, too.
We will discuss the draft haul of the Blackhawks when we come back with more Raheem and Harris. Mark Grody in for Layla on 670 The Score.
With the third pick of the 2025 NHL draft, the Chicago Blackhawks select from Djurgården, Anton Frändell.
It's an amazing feeling. I'm still shocked. It was a blackout when I heard my name, and now I finally have a new favorite NHL team, and I'm happy to be here.
That is Anton Frändell. He is the newest first-round pick. Well, I guess he's not technically the newest first-round pick. He was just the first player taken, because they had two guys who were taken after him in the first round who are newer than him because they got their names called later in the first round of the NHL draft. Anyway, Blackhawks fully loaded. 8 new players added, and they're obviously going to get right to work. Developmental camp starting for the Blackhawks today. And so for more on that, we go out to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. That's where Mark Lazarus joins us. Mark, the senior NHL writer of The Athletic, the co-host of The Athletic Hockey Show. And Mark, thanks for joining us here on Raheem and Harris. I'm just curious, what do you make of what the Blackhawks were able to do over the weekend as we kind of hopefully step out of the rebuild mode into the time to compete mode?
Been saying that for a few years now, haven't we? Huh?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't hold your breath because we're going to be making these same top 5 picks next year too, I'm thinking. But, it's a volume business for the Blackhawks right now. They've been, they've traded so many guys away over the last handful of years that they've accumulated so many picks. And not just first rounders, but second, third, and fourth rounders. And, every year it seems Kyle Davidson is trading back into the first round. He's made 11 first round picks in the last 4 drafts, which is kind of crazy to think about. But that's the way they're looking at it. In the NHL draft, if you're taken in the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round, you're probably not an NHL player. There's a limited amount of guys that really make it. So their thought is get as many first rounders as you can because those guys are going to probably make the NHL. And if you hit on half of them, you've got your entire top 6 set. So it's a volume business for Kyle Davidson right now. And they'll be in the mix again for the top pick next year. And Gavin McKenna, the next generational prospect. Stop me if you've heard this before, but
yeah,
their hope is that 3-4 years from now, these guys will all be stars.
Mark, you're really frustrating me right now because all I'm thinking is, what, can Kyle sneak over to the Bulls and just start doing that with the Bulls? Because that's not what they do. So, yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's a blessing and a curse, right? Like, it's probably the right way to do it, but it also never seems to work in the NHL. These teams that go on these perpetual rebuilds and try to build exclusively through the draft, They fail. Buffalo hasn't made the playoffs in 14 years. Detroit hasn't made the playoffs in 9 years. It's really hard to hit on the draft. It's such a crapshoot. You're drafting children, right? And you're projecting what they'll be like as men. So it's a really difficult process. It looks like it's working so far. There's a lot of talent, but you just never know until they've been in the league a few years.
Yeah, and that's such a good point. I mean, they're drafting children, and they have the exuberance of children. Like Frondell, when he was drafted, he almost had this air of, I'm not worthy. I can't believe it. I've been drafted by the damn Blackhawks. What do they have in Anton Frondell? Like, if he is to develop into what scouts think he might be, what is that product in Anton Frondell, Mark?
Well, if you ask Anton Frondell, he'll say he plays a Sasha Barkov style game. Alexander Barkov, for those who aren't big hockey fans, he plays for the Florida Panthers, and he's one of the best all-around players. Think like a Jonathan Toews, a Marian Hossa, a guy who's just phenomenal at both ends of the ice. He might not have the flash of a Connor McDavid, but he's the kind of player that wins championships, right? So that's what Frondell says. There's another Florida Panther that the scouts say is probably more realistic, Anton Lundell. Oddly enough, very similar name. He's the third line center for the Panthers. Great player, but not the flashiest guy, not a superstar offensive guy. Frondell's probably somewhere in the middle there. If he's your number 2 center, or if he's becomes Connor Bedard's wing, then this is a home run pick, right? If he can play that role, if he's in your top 6, then that's great. We won't know for a little while. He's probably going back to Sweden this year. I think only top pick Matthew Schaefer of the Islanders and number 2 pick Michael Misa of San Jose. Those are probably the only 2 guys that will be in the NHL this year out of this draft. But Frondell will not be far away, and maybe by the end of the year, kind of like last year where all these guys came in at the end, we might be able to see him in Chicago.
Okay, Mark. So they've got all these picks, 11 in the first round the last 4 years. I'm curious as to if there needs to be more balance in going to get immediate help for Connor Bedard, or are they just saying this is just the way the process is going to go, and it may be 4-5 years before Bedard and the Blackhawks can be contenders?
I mean, that's where we're headed. Like, they're clearly, like, free agency opens tomorrow at 11 a.m., and the Blackhawks will not be doing anything. Like, they might, they traded for Andrei Burakovsky, a kind of, like, mediocre winger, and he's probably going to be Connor Bedard's left wing this year. We all hoped they were going to go get Mitch Marner or Nikolai Ehlers or Brock Besser, someone that could, like, bring the best out of Connor Bedard, but that doesn't seem to be in the plans. They're not going to be big players in free agency. I think that's the wrong decision. I think you're at a point where this is Bedard's 3rd year, and you owe it to him to get him players that can play with him. I mean, my God, his first year, his top linemate was Philip Kurashev, and last year his top linemate was Ryan Donato. These are not top line players in the NHL. They're nice players, had nice seasons. But these, you know, if you put Mitch Marner on Connor Bedard's wing next year, he'd have 45 goals and 95 points. Like, I'm sure of it. But that's not going to happen. And I get it. You know, it's personal. It's hard to sell Mitch Marner on coming to Chicago when this team's not, it's so far from contention. But you need to go out and get somebody. You need to go. The Hawks have all the cap space in the world. Go spend it. Bring someone for a couple of years that can bring the best out of Connor Bedard so that when these young guys do come to fruition, Bedard's already a megastar. He's going to get there. But, you know, at some point, you need to help him. He can't do it by himself.
You had a one-on-one recently, actually, with Connor Bedard. I guess my question is he okay? Is he cool? Like, is he happy with the Blackhawks? Is Connor okay?
He is fine. Like, he's frustrated as anybody else. The kid's a serious competitor. He wants to win desperately, and he spent 2 years on, you know, the worst or second worst team in the league. That's not fun for anybody. And his numbers have suffered as a result a little bit, and he thinks that he could be doing more to help the team be better, and he's right. But the weight that's on this kid's shoulders, I mean, he doesn't even turn 20 until 2 weeks from now. Like, he's still a teenager. People forget just how he was young for an 18-year-old when he got drafted. So he's frustrated, sure, but he's not like, you know, everyone in Vancouver. He's from Vancouver, so every Vancouver Canucks fan trying to manifest this idea that he's unhappy in Chicago and wants out, not true. As he told me, like, I want to be a Hawk as long as I'm playing. He's eligible for a new contract extension starting tomorrow. I would not expect him to sign one. I would expect him to go through the year. He wants to put up better numbers to show that he deserves more money, and the Hawks are in no rush to extend him, so I wouldn't sweat that. But he is eligible. He's entering the last year of his entry-level contract. He's going to make a lot of money out of this. The Hawks have that money. They're going to give him that money. Eventually, it'll be fine. But, yeah, of course he's frustrated, but he's not unhappy.
Mark Lazarus, senior NHL writer with The Athletic and the co-host of The Athletic Hockey Show, joining us here on Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody and for Layla. All right, Mark, so if he's happy, if he understands the situation, what exactly is Connor Bedard looking at saying is going to be different this season than his first two seasons?
I think that's going to come from within, right? He's got to be himself, become better. He's trying to become faster this summer. He's working on his skating. He didn't go to world championships. He passed up a chance to play with, you know, Sidney Crosby and Nathan MacKinnon and try to solidify his Olympic chances because he's more concerned about his own game and being as good as he can for the Blackhawks. So I think part of it is that. And at the end of last year, I mean, it's a small sample size, but that last couple of weeks of the season when all the kids came in, when Sam Renzel was there and Artem Levchinov and all these young guys were finally breaking into the league, they looked good. They looked fast. They looked exciting. And there was an energy in the room that wasn't there when they were full of all these stopgap veterans during the tanking years. But I think Bedard sees that, and he's excited about that. You know, maybe Oliver Moore steps up, another first-round pick. Maybe he can play in the top six with him. Frank Nazar looked like an absolute superstar. Late in the year, he is going to be – I mean, he might have been the best player on the Blackhawks last year, and he's, you know, 20 years old also. So there's a lot of excitement there, and I think Bedard sees that. He sees it's coming. He wants to be a part of that, but he also wants to lead it, right? He needs to improve his own game so that he can be the one – kind of leading the way for that next group.
Two of the other kids that they drafted, Vaclav Nestrosil, the 18-year-old, 6'6", 185, Mason West, 6'6", 210 pounds. Does size matter with the Blackhawks this year?
Well, it does. I mean, we very much focused on, you know, because Nazar and Bedard are both like, you know, 5'10 guys, right? They're not big guys. You can't have a top six that's completely full of 5'10" guys, but we've also, you know, Sidney Crosby's 5'11", and Patrick Kane was probably 5'9½".
Right.
So you can be good, but they made a conscious effort to get bigger. Mason West is a really interesting one because he plays high school football still.
Yeah.
And he's going to play high school football this fall, which is crazy to me, considering the investment that is being put in him and how much value he has for the Blackhawks, that you're going to let him go play football. But that's kind of the appeal of this kid, is he's a two-way star, and he thinks like a quarterback, and he's got a long runway ahead of him. It's probably a few years till he's in the NHL. The Hawks kind of like doing that. They like getting guys that haven't even come close to their ceiling yet. They look at like a Sam Renzel was that 3 years ago. Everyone thought that was a reach of a pick late in the first round. He walked in last year and immediately became their number one defenseman. So that's kind of what they're hoping for with Mason West. Even with Nestor still a little bit, they're drafting guys who might be a little bit behind the curve because they're still so young that they think that if they're already this good now, and they're just scratching the surface. Imagine how good they can be in a few years.
Can't wait to see Mason West's high school highlights as a football and a hockey player. Should be a fun time. Thanks so much for joining us, Mark. We really appreciate you stopping by to explain what exactly the Hawks are trying to do here with the NHL draft and now free agency.
Anytime, guys.
All right, so that was Mark Lazarus, senior NHL writer, The Athletic, co-host of The Athletic Hockey Show. You can follow him on Twitter at Mark Lazarus. That's L-A-Z-E-R-U-S, not to be confused with the other Mark Lazarus because he's also a prominent sports figure. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, it is time for Five on It. Mark Grody in for Layla Rahimi. It's Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score.